Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for this opportunity to speak with you this morning. And I hope it's going to be a good one, because our topic today is the gift of joy. So we're continuing with our Christmas series about gifts. And today is the gift of joy. And I think that's a good idea, because I don't know about you, but there doesn't seem to be too much joy around at the moment, does there? If you watch the news or read the papers, if you can still bear to do so, there's not much joy, is there? So, I mean, whatever you think about the future of our nation, whether we're going to become new and independent and all that, or just be a bit more kind of impoverished and inconvenienced, either way, it's not going to be much fun, is it? And if you walk down Loughton High Road or catch the train into London, there just doesn't seem to be much joy around. So I did a bit of research about how to find joy, to see what the internet has to offer. And it says things like, some of the advice I got was, you can appreciate the small things. That might be a good way. I'm not sure what those things are, but they're small. You can surround yourself with positive people, which is easier said than done on the school run. You can find bliss in a bucket list. That's maybe a good idea. And this will appeal to some more than others, but you can dress in costume for no reason. Yeah. So I'm not sure about that one. So I'm not saying those things to discount them, because obviously, you know, God made the world and everything in it. So there's plenty of things we can enjoy. We can have a glass of wine, take a holiday, lots of things we can enjoy. But the thing is that what the Bible means when it talks about joy? You know, a kind of enjoying the good things in life and finding bliss in a bucket list and so on. And I want to say, no, it's not. Not really at all, actually. Because the gift of joy comes from Jesus. Okay, the gift of joy comes from Jesus. And why is that? Well, if you look through the Bible talks about joy quite a lot. There's lots of references to joy. And almost all of them are about not our circumstances, but about what God has done. Okay, what God has done. And if they're ever about our circumstances, it tends to be about hard times rather than good times. But don't worry, I'll come back to that a bit later. So you could say that joy is about catching a glimpse, kind of knowing and experiencing something of what God has done, is doing, and will do through Jesus. Yeah, so as you go through the Bible, you start to get, through the Old Testament, you start to get some really wonderful pictures of joy. So in Isaiah, we read, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness." And, and then later on it says, "Those the Lord has rescued will return. They'll enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." So we get the sense that joy is about what God has done, and specifically about salvation, that he's saved us. And then of course in the fields outside Bethlehem on the first Christmas, the famous words of the angels to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So the joy is not just that a baby has been born, but that a Saviour has been born. And what is that to mean exactly as that baby grew up to become a man who died upon the cross? Well, it means what it says in 1 Peter, in the first verse of our reading today, which said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so that, according to Peter, is where true joy, true and lasting joy, is to be found. In salvation from God, in the new life and hope that comes from Jesus, that's been given to us. So it's a bit like Jesus has come close. God has reached down. He's set us on a different path. He's given us life when we deserve death, and he wants a relationship with us. Yeah, so how do you relate to that, the experience of salvation? How do you relate to that? How was your salvation? How would you describe it? Was it an event? Did it happen dramatically at one time, or was it a process over some years or times? It's going to be different for different people, and probably no two people will be the same. I think we're not too prescriptive here about exactly kind of the nuts and bolts of what happens when in salvation, but there's a few key elements. I think it involves Jesus, and it involves change, doesn't it? So it's like Jesus came, I responded, and everything was different. So Jesus came, I responded, and everything is different. So maybe you were growing up as a teenager. Maybe you grew up in a household where there was faith, but maybe it wasn't until later on that you really experienced Jesus in a different way. Maybe you were growing up in Nigeria, and 6 years old, your mum told you the gospel, and you just decided to accept it there and then. And why not? Maybe you came to an Alpha course in the Hope Centre with some questions about God and experienced the Holy Spirit in a different way. Or maybe you came into Cafe Hope sometime and thought there was something different here, and that's been an experience, that's been the start of a journey for you. So those are all true stories. One of them is me. But just to say that our experience of salvation might be widely different. But somewhere in there, there'll be some experience of joy, I think. And I remember, I think it was a couple of years after I'd become a Christian again. I think I was struggling with sin of some kind, and I was reading, I think I was just kind of kneeling by my bed reading Psalm 103, and I read that verse, as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed my transgressions from me. And it was just like going from a kind of posture of kneeling down and bowing to saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me. And, and it's not just about, us as well. It's not just about kind of me, how I feel with my salvation. Because I think we can take as much joy, or maybe more, in seeing other people experience something of God. We have, for the last few months, had the great pleasure of welcoming a number of teenagers from the church into our house on a Wednesday evening. And once you get through all the chat and the phones and the louds and long games, and that's just Mike Smith. Once you get through all that, you can see faith growing, and more than that, real kind of calling on people's lives. And that is a great joy to see that actually across all of Ignite, to see God at work in our young people. So just to recap, that the gift of joy is maybe not what the world says it is, but it's about new life in Jesus. It comes from Jesus. It's about hope, and it's about salvation. And there's nothing that can compare with that. But it's not as if The gift of joy is just about remembering something from our past that happened recently or a long time ago, because joy continues to come from Jesus. And as we continue to receive the gift of joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength day by day. And that's what Peter says to these believers in verse 6 of our reading today. He says, in all this, in other words, in salvation and new life and new hope, you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And that may have been your experience. And in the Bible, as I said, it's joy is often connected not so much with good times, but with difficult times and with suffering. And the Bible even says, in a passage we're not, luckily not doing today, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. And so that reminds us that joy is not the same as happiness, because happiness comes and goes, doesn't it, depending on what's happening. But joy is something deeper, focused on something bigger, and it comes from Jesus in the Holy Spirit. And as one example, I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, I was unemployed for a while, and I was, even though I had a sense maybe God was calling me to something different, I was going for a number of jobs and job interviews, and there was one in particular which I thought I was going to get, and I thought this is probably the answer to our problems, and it seemed to go very well, and I thought this was the right one. But I found out that I didn't get the job. I didn't get it. And, you know, that was a kind of a difficult evening and then a difficult morning the next morning. So I woke up thinking, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I'm just not sure what's going to happen now. But then there was a kind of a sense of joy that came, that even though I didn't know what was going to happen, we were in God's hands. And even though it wasn't an easy period from then on, there was this kind of sense of joy. And so in that sense, joy can kind of come even alongside tears or through tears. But it's about the presence of God with us. And I was thinking about this, I was reminded of Jesus showing us, a bit like he does to Thomas, his hands and his feet, as if to say, just to remind us that, you know, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. So it's a bit like Jesus saying, it's okay, I've got this. It's okay, I've got this. And just reminding us of the kind of the mystery of the Christian faith, which is a mixture of joy and sometimes suffering. And that takes us to one of my favourite verses in the Bible, verse 8 from our reading today, that says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And that is kind of the mystery of the faith, isn't it, in a way that, you know, we haven't seen Jesus, apart from on the pages of our Bible, but we haven't seen him in the flesh, and yet we love him. I'm happy to say that I love Jesus, even though I haven't seen him in the flesh. And even though we haven't seen him now, we believe in him, and we're filled with joy. And it's hard to explain, isn't it? I don't think I can explain it, except to say that if that is true, which I believe it is true, then it must be God, mustn't it? It must be the Holy Spirit. It must be Jesus who gives us this joy in his presence, because there's no other explanation. So not only does Jesus give us joy, he continues to give us joy. One day, when the kingdom of God comes, The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the gift of joy will be completed by Jesus. So just as we finish, I just wanted to say maybe there's talk to generalize massively, two kinds of people today. Maybe there might be a few people here today who say, I haven't, or it might be a language thing, but you might say, I don't think I've experienced joy from Jesus. I just wouldn't sort of say that, what relate to what you've been talking about. Well, if that's the case, in many ways, kind of just say the word. No one is excluded or disqualified if you're willing to come to Jesus. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So everything that we've been talking about, everything in the Bible, is yours if you can accept it from Jesus and put Jesus first. New life, hope, joy, inexpressible. And I don't mean to say that we're promising immediate spiritual experience, that's not really the point, but we're promising the solid and unshakable reality of everything of Jesus for you. And maybe there's some other people, and you might be saying, okay, kind of, I get it, I know it, but I'm not really feeling it right now. And I often find myself in that group. And I just wanted to remind you of a prayer from Psalm 51, which you probably know. It's a beautiful prayer which says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And that is a good prayer which I believe that Jesus loves to answer. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And I'd encourage you to pray that anytime you need to. And if you feel like maybe that's not quite gonna cut it for you, there's one further prayer I'd just like to read. This is from Habakkuk in the Old Testament. And he says this, he prayed in tough times, he prayed for revival when there was none. And this is what he says as a kind of prophetic declaration. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour." So whether either of those or neither of those are you, I pray that you receive the gift of joy this Christmas as a gift from Jesus. It comes from him and it continues with Jesus and it will be completed by him. There's nothing that can compare with it. To say that it's bigger and better than what other things offer is not quite capturing it. It's precious and it's valuable. And it's the best thing you can have. Because the thing is that although we don't see Jesus now, you know, one day we will see him. One day we will see him. One day we will see Jesus and our joy will be made full. Amen.